Elizabeth Scanlon's with me. She's a fellow presenter from Maine FM in Castle, Maine. And we are in the same way that we'll be going on in Castle, Maine from October 26th until November 5th under Milkwood. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the play and encourage you to come see it. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Renee. How are you?
I'm good.
So thanks very much for having me on your show.
I appreciate you coming in.
It's great. So under Milkwood, what do you know about it? You said you'd been researching it during the week?
I have been. Yeah, well, for the last few weeks since we've been rehearsing,
yeah.
But I had not heard of it. And now it's such a big part of my life. Characters in it, the whole plot, the learning about Dylan Thomas. It's just been amazing.
And
I'm really excited about doing the show.
Yeah, it's looking like being a great show. There are some really good actors in it. There's some really good text to work with. There's, you know, the play is quite lovely. It's a lovely play. It's not like we're putting some dry, boring play on.
Yeah, you know? No, it's not boring.
No.
And there's some amateurs in the play as well.
Yeah, but
me included.
You wouldn't know.
Oh God, it's really been a ride, I'll tell you. Like I said, the characters that I'm playing and that you're playing are just so much fun.
Mm.
Yeah, and the director is fantastic.
Michelle's really good. She's very supportive. Hi, Michelle Dorian, if you're listening.
Yeah. Just wanted to make sure everybody knows it starts on Thursday, October 26th at the Fee Broadway Theater. In Castle, Maine. It's attached to the library, kind
That's
of.
That's right. It's just off the library foyer. They share a foyer, the library and the theater.
And we're not sure how many seats it holds, but we feel pretty sure you can get seats on the day if you decide to come. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it's going to be an evening show.
I think it's a 300-seat theater, so it should be okay.
Mm, yeah. Okay. But best to, you know, plan ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have 8 shows. Start Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30, I think it starts. And the show runs about an hour and a half, and we will have a short intermission in the middle. And then Sunday, we'll have a matinee at 2 o'clock. So there's going to be 2 Sundays where we'll have a matinee, November 5th as well. You know, so if you can't get out at night or don't want to drive at night from Maryborough or further away from Castle, Maine, you can come on Sunday. Yeah, well, Dylan Thomas.
What about Dylan Thomas? I mean, he's a character, isn't he?
And he died at 39.
It's so sad. I think was it drinking related?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yeah, Welsh poet, playwright, and broadcaster. And he went to the United States, I was reading today, and he was in New York when he died.
Oh.
Yeah.
What a place.
He got really sick and he was in the hospital. But he had a lot of physical and mental problems. But, you know, how creative people are.
Can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can be. Not all of them. Very, very sad. But today we thought we'd play, you know, he was a great poet. And I've got some of the poems that he's written on the USBs, and thought we'd play a couple of those and talk a little bit about his life and the people in his life and how he came to write Under Milkwood. Maybe we'll play Michael Sheen. He performs Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night, which a lot of people have heard that little phrase, but they didn't know Dylan Thomas wrote it. But have a listen to this.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. The wise men at their end know dark is right. Because their words had forked no lightning, they do not go gentle into that good night. Good men, the last wave by, crying how bright their frail deeds might have danced in a green bay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Wild men who caught and sang the sun in flight and learned too late they grieved it on its way. Do not go gentle into that good night. Grave men near death who see with blinding sight, blind eyes could blaze like meteors and be gay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. And you, my father, there on the sad height, curse, bless me now with your fierce tears, I pray. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
Whoa, what a poem.
And well delivered, too.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Elizabeth, you told me you were playing 4 characters in the play. somehow I didn't notice. I thought there were only three.
No, there are. There are a couple of very small parts.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there are three very small parts. And, one main character, Polygada.
So, oh, yeah. I love the song you sing. I didn't know you were a singer.
Oh, well, neither did I until Michelle asked me to sing on stage.
It sounds really, really good. In fact, I've got a recording, for the play of Polly Gardner singing, and I'll play that. But you do just as well as this person in this performance.
Thanks very much. Yeah. I listened to the BBC play quite a few times to get the tune.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? I just realized we need to take a break and hear a word from our sponsors. But we'll come right back and talk a little bit more about Under Milkwood and Dylan Thomas. We're here today talking about the play Under Milkwood and Dylan Thomas. And I have Elizabeth Scanlon in the studio with me. She's a fellow presenter at Maine FM, and she's also in the play. And she was just telling me that she's playing four roles, four parts. So I was asking Elizabeth, do you identify with any of them, and who are they? And
I really feel for Polly Gardner because... as it says in front of me, she has affairs with the married men of the village, and she's a young mother who dreams of her many lovers and lovers of the day, it says on my page. But yeah, so I won't give any more away. But she's really touching, and she's really quite a lovely character, but she's very cutthroat. She doesn't sort of see other women as being important. She's the most important woman, and she's wrapped up in her own mind and wrapped up in having babies, and doesn't really think about anything else as far as I know, like just does the chores and, drifts along in a dreamlike state like most of the characters in Under Milkwood.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a very pretty girl, and I know that, you're always doing the laundry, like kind of like Cinderella.
Yeah.
Mopping and doing the laundry, and oh no, the other character is mopping.
Oh, no.
It's Polly?
Yeah, it's Polly.
Polly, oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
No, it's Polly who's mopping. But, Captain Cat says something about her that is, all the women in the village are kind of hissing behind her back.
Well, they're all gossips.
Yeah, well, they are. I don't know. I really feel so deep inside this play that it's hard to say anything without giving away what the production's going to look like, but that's what I'm trying to do. I want you to come and see this play. I've helped to paint the set, so I've helped to make the puppets, so have you. And, there's just so much invested.
I know we've invested a lot.
Yeah.
Everybody has. I mean, everybody's so excited about it. We've had how many rehearsals? Almost 2.5 months of rehearsals.
Yeah.
So we've spent hours tweaking this.
But it still feels like nothing. I feel like I could just do another 2.5 months of rehearsal and then we'd have the characters down.
Yeah.
But that's not to say don't come and see it. It is a professional production.
Yeah.
I liked what you were saying before about feeling like you're an amateur, because I know that amateur, that's what it is, genius of love or something, or you work within the parameters of love or something, so you do it, I think, for the love of it. That's what it is from the French or something.
It's like community radio.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So you're playing a couple of characters too.
Yeah, well, tell me more about the ones you're playing.
Okay. Well, Bessie Bighead is a cowherd, and I'll be playing her, and I'm playing a drowned man who comes to visit Captain Cat. And I'm playing also that cameo as a neighbourhood gossip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that scene.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm playing Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard, which is a very uptight, stuffy woman. And then on the opposite end of that, I'm playing Mrs. Dyebred Toole. I'm a gypsy.
Always. A mysterious and sultry gypsy, according to my page.
Well, and a scammer, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, she reads your fortune in the tea leaves and the crystal ball. So, yeah, I don't identify with her.
No. She reminds me of some people I used to know. And I can't say that.
Well, I always wanted to be a gypsy until I realized it wasn't really a good thing.
I don't know. That puts me in the mind of this book, like D.H. Lawrence as the Virgin and the Gypsy. I think that D.H. Lawrence and Dylan Thomas would have been peers. Not so much. I don't know whether they knew each other. I don't even know whether they lived at the same time. I don't think they did. But I think, Thomas would have read D.H. Lawrence, and he wrote The Virgin and the Gypsy. And it's a really great book, actually. Yeah. They've got a bad rap back.
Did. But, and I play one of the gossips as well, so I'm with you in that scene. But yeah, it's great fun.
It is good. But, and there are so many characters. There are fewer actors than characters, so most of us are playing multiples.
Yes, yes. And hopefully the audience will be able to distinguish the difference. We have wigs and different outfits for the different characters.
Yeah, we have specific costumes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But, Mrs. Dybread, too, she is the gypsy, and she and another woman are married to the baker, Mr. Dybread.
Regular baker's dozen, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a lot of fun. And I love the young girls in the play, too.
Yes. Yeah. There are some really...
Stevie and Molly.
Yeah. Great. I hope they stay with the theatre company.
Yeah, I think they have done other... plays, yeah. Haven't they? Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, well, they're both very talented.
Yes,
and very pretty.
Yeah.
So it'll be good fun. But you know, I was reading about Dylan Thomas today, and he died in 1953. That's the year I was born.
Oh wow!
Yeah, he died. I think a month before I was born.
Oh, and
I just can't believe that. You know, I wish that he knew what happened with his play. He didn't know how big it was and how it would go on in history and be, you know, done over and over again.
I wonder about that, though, because he did complete it the year he died, and or just shortly before he died. I'm pretty sure he completed it in 1953, and he'd started writing it when he was 17 years old.
I know.
It's amazing. And so it's his magnum opus, is sure. But yes, if he'd known, he wouldn't have felt so bad, and he might have been able to get off, you know, anyway, he might not have died, yeah.
But he
sure.
wouldn't know how you know, how long it went on and how much and how people are still doing it here in Castlemaine, Australia.
Well, that's right.
You know, in 2023. And I was also reading, his father was an English literature professor.
Ah.
Yeah. So he grew up, you know, in a family that was... interested in poetry and you know,
yeah, that's gorgeous. And he also was married to Caitlin, who was a very interesting woman.
Yeah, I was telling you, I read these quotes. We should read some of those quotes.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That was an interesting woman, and she, I mean, they were very much in love. But I was reading about when he was in the hospital dying, she went crazy, and they had to take her out. Yeah. In a straitjacket.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But anyway, let's read. I'll read that first one.
Okay, so the first one that I have in front of me, If Happiness Comes at All, which is by no means prearranged. It comes, by the way, while you were seeking for something else, something outside yourself, beyond yourself, in a brief absorption of self-forgetfulness. It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's good.
I like this one. When the desire is on for one particular person... nobody else will do. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She says the same thing in so many different ways,
yeah.
though. Yeah. But she is. She's. It's funny because she's very innocent and very jaded at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, you get that.
Yeah.
I like, jealousy is a lifelong noose hanging around the neck of love.
Yes.
I wonder how much she contributed to Under Milkwood.
I would imagine that she contributed significantly. I think she was the muse behind a lot of the female characters, and she was the muse behind a lot of the kind of reactions of the characters to each other as well.
Yeah, just from these little quotes.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Under Milkwood production that we are participating in, Elizabeth and I, and starting this coming Thursday at 7:30. Very excited about doing the play for 8 shows.
So 8 only. I mean, it's usually 9.
So is
because
it?
Because we don't usually do Thursday night with the theatre company, but they've decided to do Thursday to Sunday, not Friday to Sunday, which I like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it means you're not committed for as many weekends, and there's the opportunity to come on the Thursday night too. So it's really good.
Yeah. You've been in other plays.
I have. Yeah. I started out with Castlemaine Theatre Company anyway in As You Like It. I played Audrey, if you know the play, and she's kind of just a bumbling fool. Yeah, she's, I don't know. She's well, suffice to say, she plays opposite Touchstone. She's his love interest, and Touchstone is the trusted friend of Celia and Rosalind. They're the main characters in the play, kind of, you know.
I don't know.
But, no, neither did I until I auditioned. Anyway, I auditioned for the very smallest role that I could, and I won the very smallest role that I could. And so, yeah, since then I've been hooked. It's funny because I was making a submission to NPR in America last night about community theatre being one of my interests, because they're putting out a call for anyone who has a hobby or an interest to tell them what that hobby or an interest is and why they love it and why other people should pick it up.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
How long ago was that play?
That was in 2018, so that's 5 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but that's how I got involved with the theatre company anyway.
Yeah.
Before that, I hadn't really done any acting, unless you count lying to your parents in school. So, yeah.
I was telling somebody recently, I was a waitress for many years when I was younger, and I said, well, that's a form of acting for sure, especially in the United States when you work for tips.
Yes.
But, so you learn how to, you know, stand in front of people you don't know and make conversation and that kind of thing. But anyway, somebody in our cast said to me, oh, all you Americans are good actors. I go, well, is that an insult or a compliment?
Yeah.
Just kidding. Anyway.
But I think it's interesting to sort of try to – the synopsis is in front of me, but I think it's easy to say that the narrators and Captain Cat tell you who everybody on the stage is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of it is narrated.
Yeah. So if you're afraid you won't understand, or you have no context, or you don't know the play — I didn't know the play really well. I was actually quite biased against it because, as I was telling you off air, Dylan Thomas was reputed to have been the reason that Caitlin left W.B. Yeats. So that's where I think that she was the inspiration for a lot of the way in which the characters interrelated.
Mm-hmm.
Or that... Yeah, that contextualizes a lot of it anyway. So, yeah.
Well, we need to take a break and hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
In the summer of 1988, George Martin flew to America, to Los Angeles, where Tom Jones would sing the bawdy song of Mr. Waldo, Clara Gibbs' Town Drunk.
In Pembroke City, when I was young, I lived by the castle keep. Sixpence a week was my wages for working for the chimney sweep. 6 cold pennies he gave me, not a farthing more or less. And all the fare I could afford was parsnip gin and watercress. I did not need a knife and fork or a bib up to my chin to dine on a dish of watercress and a jug of parsnip gin. Did you ever hear a growing boy to live so cruel cheap on grub that has no flesh and bones and liquor that makes you weep? Chimbley sweep, I wept through Pembroke City, poor and barefoot in the snow, till a kind young woman took pity. Poor little Chimbley sweep, she said, black as the ace of spades. I don't nobody swept my chimbley since my husband went his ways. Come and sweep my chimbley, come and sweep my chimbley, come and sweep my chimbley. She sighed to me with...
Mr. Waldo's drunken song of seduction, sung in the town's pub, is the climax of the day in Claregib.
Yep, that was the climax of the day in Claregib. It was our ending scene, or pretty much the ending scene.
It is. It's pretty well the final scene, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where everybody's in the pub.
Where else would you be?
Dancing and singing along. To Tom Jones.
To Tom Jones. Well, you know, sort of order of the day. If it's not Tom Jones, it's someone else these days.
It's going to be happening. Yeah, quite the song, I'll tell you. And, yeah, the town is called Claregib, but the name is spelled Claregub, and it was derived by reversing the phrase. And been backwards, it means bugger all.
Isn't that good? And that's what the characters do, you see.
Dylan Thomas often referred to the village as the village of the mad or the town that was mad. Isn't that the truth?
Well, that's it. Yes, you wonder what these people are thinking when you learn your lines.
Oh, dear. Yeah, well, that's it. Like I said, it's been great fun. And I'm very impressed that Mark sings that song. And he sings it so well in our play.
Yeah. It's gorgeous, actually. It's a really nice little moment. So, yeah, I don't know. There are so many other things to say about it, though. Come early if you're going to come, because drinks are at very reasonable prices, and you can have a couple and then drive home over the duration of the night.
Yeah. So there's, I'm not familiar with the theatre, so there is like a bar.
There'll be a bar arrangement. And there'll also be water and tea and coffee.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's all available.
And no food or anything like that?
No, there won't be food served. You'll have to dine out. But that's okay. There are some lovely places in Castlemaine.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah.
We can't mention them, though. They're not sponsors, darn it. I have a few favorites in Castlemaine. But yeah, and I love the idea that people can come from afar, because the train stops almost every hour in Castlemaine. You can catch the train there, like if you're in Melbourne or south of Castlemaine, come up, watch the show, and go back home same day, same night.
Yeah.
And of course, the matinees will be good for the people in our area to drive from Maryborough or, you know, this area.
Yeah.
Well, Polly Garter, I'm going to play your song.
Oh, okay.
And like I said, everyone, Elizabeth does a great job with this song, but this is somebody else singing it at the Edinburgh Festival.
I loved a man whose name was Tom. He was strong as a bear and 2 yards long. I loved a man whose name was Dick. He was big as a barrel and 3 feet thick. And I loved a man whose name was Harry, 6 feet tall and sweet as a cherry. But the one I loved best, awake or asleep, was little Willie Wee.
But Polly Garter is, you know, the unwed mother with kind of who runs around chasing married men. So
yeah.
Aww. It's funny, isn't it? Kind of. It's really quite a sort of a steamy little play if you look at it on, you know, from the outside. Anyway, imagine it's a snow dome and you've got it in your hand or something. It's a really, you know, you've shaken up the snow dome and all the snow is raining down on Larrigal or something. Yeah, you know, you can hardly see it for the kind of, you know, for the bulldust or something. Yes.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Well, like I said, I like the character I play, Mrs. Ogmore Pritch, because she's a clean freak, and I actually am too.
Oh, right.
I mean, of course, not to that extent.
No.
But she's a fun character to play. I can kind of be the uptight.
My favorite character to play is one of the drowned men who come and visit Captain Cat.
Yeah, you know, I'm usually in backstage when that scene is on. I need to pay attention, more attention to that one.
Yeah, it's right near the very start, so you'll know it when you see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, it's a very complex play if you're just trying to sit down and read the play. A good way in is the BBC's radio play, which is, I don't know whether I can promote that on air, but it's okay. Mm. So that's starring Richard Burton. So it's an older play, but it was also adapted in the 60s or 70s for the stage. I think it was the 60s, 64 it might have been. But the BBC's radio play was earlier, and it's a really good way to get your head around the play.
Yeah, I watched some of that, and I watched the movie too.
Yeah.
I thought the movie was great.
I haven't seen the movie.
Oh, yeah, that's how I was able to kind of mimic the characters, because got to watch them. Yeah, especially the gypsy. She's really good reading the crystal ball in the movie. Mm. And, of course, Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton are in the movie.
I didn't know Elizabeth Taylor was in it, too.
Yes, and she's just gorgeous because, I mean, it was way back when. I mean, she was very young then. I think she was 17 when she was in the movie.
Oh,
I think I read that. I could be wrong, but pretty sure she was very, very young.
Yeah.
And gorgeous. Yeah. Rosie, Angela's character.
Oh, right. Yes, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I can't say anything more without spoiling it.
I know. We don't want to tell too much.
No. Yeah.
But
no, it's great. I don't know if there are any of you out there who are involved in community theatre. Come and see it. It's an experience. We've done everything ourselves. We've got a shoestring budget. We've got a bunch of very helpful people, and we've got a good little cast and crew. So it will be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I can't believe how much effort and work everybody has put in, and it's community organization. Yeah. Yep.
I really just wanted to say one more thing. I've got this Caitlin Yates kind of quote in front of me, Caitlin Thomas quote in front of me, and it says, "Sex divorced from love is the thief of personal dignity." And I get the feeling that's an underpinning theme of kind of the whole of Under Milkwood. Yeah, it really feels like a lot of that is, being discussed or alluded to. Wow.
Well, we want to encourage everyone to grab this opportunity. There's 8 shows. You can come on a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday night, and then Sunday matinee for 2 weeks in a row, starting the 26th, and then ending on November 5th.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pre-book, but we want to encourage that. There's probably going to be tickets available at the door.
Probably, but if you book as a group, you can come as a group and you can sit as a group, and you're guaranteed seats as a group is one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are refreshments, alcoholic as well. It's an hour and a half show, and we're going to have an intermission of, I think, like 20 minutes or so.
Approximately, yeah.
Yeah. And it's Under Milkwood, and you can purchase tickets at the CastleMaineTheatre.com and get on. And
CastleMaineTheatreCompany.com.
Company. Okay, company.com.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, and you're in for a great night of fun. We'll entertain you the best we can.
Yeah.
How many of us are in the cast?
There are upward of 20-ish, I think, 15, 20.
Yeah, in the photo that I posted the other day, I think I counted 18, but
I wasn't in it.
Angela was missing.
Was I?
Yeah, were in it. So yeah, we're around 20 anyway.
Yeah.
And so we got great costumes, great costume
changes.
Thanks,
Lisa, for the costumes.
Yes, thank you, Lisa. I was just really impressed about what a big job she had, and to please everybody and
and to make everything work visually.
Yeah. Because it's like not something I'd wear every day.
No, I'm not going down the street in anything Polly wears, that's for sure.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. And do come see us at Under Milkwood, October 26th through November 5th. And have a great weekend.